Well, you can open up your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I was kind of going through my Bible reading through Paul's letters again, and kind of thinking about the Walk Through Bethlehem recap message and not quite sure maybe where I was going to go. And I came across this passage here, and it just kind of start sitting with me. I'd read on, and then it just would kind of take me back. And just three simple verses that we're going to look at here in chapter one, but it really made an impact on me as far as Walk Through Bethlehem this past year concerned. And let's go ahead and read it, and I'll explain a little bit further. Paul writes here to the Thessalonians. He says, "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." And then he says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father." And that those three verses just kind of kept hitting me, and I couldn't pull away from them. And I was thinking about Bethlehem this year. It's really only the second year that I've really officially been over Walk Through Bethlehem. I just served in kind of an administrative capacity in years before. And I think of all the years that I served in Bethlehem on the admin side, last year was probably the most difficult. As far as getting it all managed, we were doing a lot of new things. We changed the city. We changed some of the script. We changed what we did in here. I had some new leaders come on board. There was a lot of new things, and so there was a lot of other things that normally would be in place that I had to really, really focus on, and it required a lot more effort and a lot more energy, and you know, Shauna can testify, there was a lot of nights that, you know, I was a zombie getting home. It was, you know, right? Yeah, because it required so much. But what really amazed me was just the energy and the excitement that everybody had. It just more so than I think than any other year. I don't know exactly what it was, but there was something about this year. And when I came across this verse here, this is what really hit me. Because Paul is kind of doing the same thing. He's looking at a group of believers, and he's just praising God for them. And he's remembering their awesome work and what they've done. And Paul says that every time I think about you, right, I'm making mention of you in our prayers. Why? Because these believers here did three amazing things. And as a result of these three amazing things that they did, the gospel went out way beyond their normal region. I mean, we read later on in the chapter, we'll look at it here in just a little bit, but we find out that because of the efforts and the service that these Thessalonians were doing in their local city, it says that the gospel sounded out to everybody in Achaia, which is all of Greece, and Macedonia, which is north of Greece. I mean, two whole geographical regions heard about the gospel of Jesus Christ. They made an impact far beyond their simple little four walls. And it was because of these three things. And these three things, I think, kind of reverberated throughout this year. You know, and I think about, too, the Thessalonians. Paul says that they did this. They served the Lord. They accomplished this. They went out there. And it wasn't in happy times. He says that they faced all this, they did all this with much affliction. See, they were under the gun, they were under pressure, they had a tough situation, yet their faith still sounded out to all of Achaia and all of Macedonia. They did just everything they could based off of these three things we're going to talk about. And as a result, God was glorified out into the world. And you know what? I think just looking back, we can relate a little bit with these believers here in Thessalonica way back in the first century. because they did this through just stress and struggle and trials. And ultimately, they glorified the Lord. And I think, you know what, we can relate to this. You know, these group of believers that were ministering in a major ministry endeavor. And so tonight, what I want to do is I want to see three ways that we can glorify God through serving. And we're going to see it because it's the same three ways that the Thessalonians did back in their day. And at the end, I'm going to kind of tie it in with Walk Through Bethlehem. So how can you glorify God through serving? The first way is by demonstrating faithful service. By demonstrating faithful service. Paul says here in verse 3, he says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. One of the reasons here that Paul was so moved by the Thessalonian believers, right, was because of their work of faith. Their work of faith. That word work there simply means to toil, either as an effort or an occupation. It means to do something, to occupy your time, whether it's going to work on a job or maybe you're going out in the yard and mowing the grass, right? You're toiling out in that yard. You know, some of you don't toil too hard. You just pay the guy to use his own mower, right? Amen. Right? That's the one plus. There's plenty of those, you know, lawn care guys out there, right? Yeah. You know, I just recently, we had a guy for a while doing it, and then I just recently started doing it again, and it's some toil again. It's like, man, I haven't been doing this in a while. I got to get back out here, right? Push a couple rows on the lawnmower, and it doesn't work, especially mine. You know, you get the automatic ones that, you know, that's not toiling, the ones that push themselves. And the mower that I have, it's got it, but it moves too slow for me. My stride is way too big. I overpower it. I probably burned it out already. But yeah, see, they were toiling, they were working, okay? They were making an effort. They were doing an act or an action, right? You see, the Thessalonians here, they didn't just put their faith with lip service. They weren't just talking. They were actually out there, and they were putting their faith in action. That's what Paul's talking about, their work of faith. They took their faith in Christ and put feet to it. See, they took their new life in Christ, and they went out, and they made a difference in their community. They went out there and exhibited exactly what Paul talks about when he talks about being an ambassador for Christ. They were out there representing him. And it went out beyond the walls of their own city. They had a work of faith. They didn't just sit back and contemplate their faith and go, wow, Christ is awesome. No, they demonstrated that out to everyone around them. See, they weren't just happy on their own salvation. They weren't just happy to sit on the sidelines, but they went out to the people around them and they shared that same faith they had with all of those. And it sounded out to all of Greece and all of Macedonia. Man, this work of faith was so impactful that it just spread beyond. We see this. This is what I was talking about. Look down at verse 6 here. He says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. We'll go back to that. He says, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Man, they got the believers going. There was other believers getting all fired up, getting all excited, getting all pumped up. You know, all across Greece and Macedonia, it was because of their example, their work of faith. The faithfulness of the Thessalonian church was rooted in their faith in Christ. And when you think about the power of faith, think about this. Man, you get an idea maybe what was really motivating them and really energizing them to go out and do what they were doing. I mean, just think about Romans 5, verses 1 through 2, where Paul says, therefore being justified by what? Faith. It's your faith in Christ that you get justified. You're found not guilty. Your sins are washed away. It's your faith. He goes on, we have peace with God then. It's justified by faith. Because of your faith, you now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, by whom also we have access by faith. We've got that great connection with our Lord and Savior. Why? Because of our faith in him. And it's that same faith that was driving the Thessalonians to go out there and to sound out and to affect the lives of people in all of Greece and Macedonia. I think about it when I read the comment cards of Walk Through Bethlehem, it's unbelievable. One person comes down every year, brings family from Jacksonville. They don't miss it. We have people from Maine that plan their vacation around Walk Through Bethlehem. Why? Because it encourages their life. One lady on her comment card wrote that my mom can't make the trip. She's too old. She has health problems. So every year for the last 4 years, she comes down during Walk Through Bethlehem time and goes through a tour and records it with her phone so that she can go home and sit down with her mom and share Walk Through Bethlehem. Think about this. It's our effort and our energy and our love of Christ, that faith that drives us to do this, and it's sounding out and encouraging the believers across the country. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's card after card of this. It's unbelievable. All up and down the eastern seaboard, people come just for Walk Through Bethlehem. And I was just kind of touched by the Thessalonians. We kind of see that same thing. But once again, keep in mind, listen, their faithfulness back in the first century here, their faithfulness wasn't demonstrated in happy times. Listen, they weren't going out there and doing, I doubt they were doing Walk Through Bethlehem. That'd be kind of cool, right? Find old records right now. Yeah, I doubt they were like doing some major things like that. We don't know. Maybe they were just interacting in normal life. But listen, they weren't doing it openly and freely. They were being persecuted in that time. They didn't like them going around and causing trouble. They did it with much affliction, Paul says. There was stress in their lives. There was pressure. There was struggle. And you know, we weren't facing the type of tribulation and struggle that they were facing. We don't have to worry about being thrown to the animals in the Colosseum or being burned at the stake. But let me tell you what, there's still some pressures and some stresses, you know? Rain's coming. You're like, oh, what are we going to do with the people in the city? You know, like last year, big rain. We had people all over in the gym and things were all going crazy, right? Yeah, listen, there was still stress. There was still issues. There were still struggles. But, you know, the Thessalonians leaned on their faith in Christ. They remembered who they placed their faith and trust in. They leaned on their faith in Christ, and that's what motivated them to continue serving through all of the struggles, all of the pressures. Why? For the simple hope of reaching others with Christ. And as I mentioned, we got that same faith in Christ that they had. We have. And you know what? If we're going to go out there and we're going to continue to glorify God in our service, man, it's got to be through demonstrations of our faith. We got to continue to keep that in mind. What did Christ do for us? Right? We're justified by faith. We have access by faith. It's through his faith that we're saved. Faith in him and his grace, right? And we got to let that be the energy and the motivation to go out there and demonstrate. The second thing the Thessalonians had, and it's the second way that we can go out there and glorify God in our service, is by allowing love to guide our service. We got to let love guide our service. See, Paul, look back at verse 3 again. Remember verse 2, Paul is giving thanks to God always. He's mentioning them in his prayers. Why? Because he's remembering without ceasing their work of faith. And what's the next one? Their labor of what? Love. Their labor of love. See, not only did their faith motivate them, but they were also engaged in godly service through their love of others. See, it was their labor of love. Now, this is kind of interesting. He uses two kind of words that sound very similar. Right? He says work of faith, but then he says labor of love. Now, isn't work and labor the same thing? It's kind of how we use it nowadays, but it's not. You see, the word labor there kind of means the same thing. It means to toil. But it doesn't stop there. It's the idea of toiling until you have no strength. It's not just working, right? It's not just letting that automatic mower, right, just kind of guide you along. It's like having those non-motorized ones, you know, the little spinning thing. You got to, right? Let me tell you what, that's a labor, right? Yeah, see, that's the idea, is it means working and toiling to the point of losing strength. It means to suffer pain. It's kind of like going to the gym, right? You go to the gym, you're all big, and you're like, yeah, I got this. This is good. All right. Woo, pumping it out. Then all of a sudden, it kind of starts going, right? You kind of, yeah, okay, that was good. Yeah, right, right. You know, and then you can't go until like another 2 weeks later because you're all sore. I remember I did a leg exercise when I was going back to the gym, and, you know, I got some pretty strong legs, and I'm like, yeah, I could do this. It was all like working on the inner part of the legs. And I'm like, yeah, big weight, and I'm working on it, and it's good. It was like, awesome, I'm all set. And I was great all afternoon, woo, working. And then I got up the next morning. Yep. I was walking up to the office door like this. Literally, not serious. I was glad I went into work early that day. Nobody saw me. Because there's a little incline up to the front door. And that was really hard going up that. That was taking some muscles that weren't working like they were before. I labored on that machine a little bit too hard. But listen, that's what Paul says their love was in Thessalonica. It wasn't a work. It wasn't an effort. It was a labor. They were doing it until they had no strength. They didn't stop when it got a little uncomfortable. They kept going. Listen, the Thessalonians worked hard to the point of weariness, stress, and pain. They did this in the midst of affliction and oppression and persecution. And what kept them going? Why suffer like that? Why make that effort for others? It was because of the love of Christ. See, it was a labor, but it was a labor of love. And it was the love of Christ that kept them laboring forward. Because Christ's love isn't a self-focused love. Christ's love is a love on others. And they allowed that love to then motivate them as well. Romans 12, 9 through 10 says, let love be without dissimulation. That means hypocrisy, right? He says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. He says, be kindly affectioned, right? One to another. See, it's love directed at others. He says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. And that's the love of Christ. And they took that love and they went out there, and that's what they exhibited out into the community. When you think about the awesome love that God has demonstrated to us, we share it every year at Walk Through Bethlehem in that cross and tomb. You see that cross right there, you see that empty tomb, and you see the love that God demonstrated, right? For God so loved the world. What'd he do? He gave. He gave his only begotten son. See, thinking of others. He gave his son so all of us could have eternal life. And the Thessalonians took that love and lived it out in their lives. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's the ultimate sacrifice, giving your life for others. It was a labor of love. And I'm sure it wasn't easy. They probably stressed each other out, right? Things probably didn't always work right in their ministry stuff. You know, their schedules didn't work out right. They probably didn't always communicate well. Things weren't always just simple, but you know what? They still exhibited a labor of love. They didn't let those little type of things get in the way of the bigger mission and that sharing that love of Christ with others. You know, whatever direction we go in, whatever ministry we perform, God's love should be right there just driving us forward behind all of our momentum. The love of Christ, a labor of love. And the third thing is to serve with faithfulness, labor of love. And the third thing is by patiently serving with hope. If we're going to glorify God in our service, we need to do it by patiently serving with hope. Verse 3 says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. And the third thing is their patience of hope. See, their service was driven by their faith and their love, but also a patient hope in Christ. See, Paul taught the Thessalonian believers there, right, that not only do you receive forgiveness of sins, right, but you have everlasting life. See, one day, right, Christ is going to come down and he's going to take us away from this miserable world. I tell the young adults all the time at the Mug, life stinks. Life stinks, it does. Right? Even if everything is all hunky-dory down here, you grow old. I mean, if everything perfect happened in life, you're still going to get to the point where your knees give out. Your hip gives out. Can't walk now. Now, you know, it happens. You get old. You get frail. Life just stinks down here. But you know what, though? If you're in Christ, that's not the end of your hope. Because you've got a new body, you've got a new life, and you've got an eternal life free from sin just waiting for you. And the Thessalonians knew that, and that's why they patiently served with hope, because they knew that this world was not the end. Not the end at all. There was something greater just waiting for them. I love that word patience there. That word patience there means cheerful endurance. Means cheerful endurance. It doesn't mean going, oh great, I gotta work two shifts at Bethlehem. It's cold, it's rainy. I'll do it, because I love the Lord. Because I know it'll do good effort. No, that's not cheerful endurance. Cheerful endurance is like, woo! This is cold, it's rainy, it stinks, but praise God. That's what it is. You know, it's exactly what Adam said. He said, you know what? I don't think I missed a day, but it. Why do I keep doing it? Because you know what? That minute that I'm still there doing my line may be the minute that someone gets saved. Man, and that's the idea. It's looking beyond just the here and now and standing on that great truth. Listen, we have a Savior who has saved us from this world and will come back and take us away someday. Paul says, absent from the body is present with the Lord. Even if you beat the Lord to the punch, you know, and you pass away, you go right to the Lord. Nothing can take your life away. And that's that hope that they had. That's the hope that they drove them. Folks, back in that day, they were being burned. They were being fed to wild animals. There were others that were being crucified and thrown up on trees and other things. They were horrible to them. They faced severe persecution. But they praised God. They glorified him along the way because they had that awesome hope in Christ. You know, it can be easy to allow stress, pressure, frustrations, people to give you a bad attitude about serving. And the sad thing is it happens. People succumb to it. And they get frustrated, they get discouraged, and they quit. But let me tell you what, if you really truly keep the big picture, you really truly keep your Lord and Savior in the focus of your mind, you keep focusing on his word, and you see that you're just part of something that is so awesome and so greater, that discouragement and that frustration won't get in the way. You'll be able to have just that awesome, joyful endurance no matter what struggle there may be. There's a bigger picture. See, that's why Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, right? He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. He says, I don't have it all figured out, but guess what? There is one thing I do have figured out. He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus, of God in Christ Jesus. See, he doesn't get caught up with all the mistakes of the past. He keeps focusing on the fact that, you know what, we got an awesome God that we serve. We're his ambassadors. We're supposed to be demonstrating his life to others. And that's what I'm going to focus on, because the end prize is all the people that are going to be coming with us that have trusted in Christ through all of this serving that we've done down here. You know, we have an awesome eternal destiny in Christ. And we need to allow this awesome hope to fill our hearts with a cheerful endurance. You know, three amazing things that the Thessalonians did here that I think could be a constant reminder for us in any capacity that we serve. And you know, I wanted to really take some time at the end of this message here, and because this really did just hit me. And I think about Walk Through Bethlehem this past year and what we've done and just everything behind it. I mean, think about this. We handed out over 20,000 business cards. Those little business cards, over 20,000 of them left this property and got handed out. I mean, that I hope they all got handed out. If we just say every single one of those ended up in the hands of a person, that's 20,000 people in our area that got an invitation to Walk Through Bethlehem. Listen, those cards didn't just walk up on their own. All right, woo, it's Bethlehem time. All of you grabbed them and handed them out. 15,000 of the half-size flyers were handed out. 15,000. That's in addition to the 20,000 cards. 35,000 invitations got sent out by everybody. That all took all of you going out there and handing them out. It's amazing, too. We did the home show again, and there's people who go out there and go, "Ooh, I love Bethlehem. Can I have some of these?" And guests will come and grab some and start handing them out. I had people I didn't even know handing them flyers out of the thing. It's unbelievable. Our cookie crew handed out over 16,000 cookies. That's a lot of calories. Think about that. Over 300 of them were hand-decorated. I think about Miss Ruby and her crew sitting there every night icing up those cookies. I saw that big old tub of icing. It was unbelievable what they bought. I wanted to kind of sneak that out. 16,000 cookies. I mean, countless gallons of coffee and hot chocolate were consumed by our guests throughout those nights. We did all sorts of new things. I mean, I think about the stuff that was done in here in the auditorium, totally new. You know, things in the city, totally new with the script. All these new changes, and yet things moved along. Things moved forward. And it took everybody. I mean, every single one of the pastors had a role. I have 15, 20 leaders that oversee different ministry leaders. There's hundreds of you all that participate. Every single person had a part in all of this. It's unbelievable. And as a result, we had almost 9,000 people come through these doors and go through the city and hear the gospel. Think about that. Almost 9,000 people, some of them from out of town, as I mentioned earlier. Close to half of those were first-time guests. Never been to Walk Through Bethlehem. It's unbelievable. People who have been in our area 20 years, never heard of it. You know? I don't know how, but there's still a lot of people in this area. We get new people all the time. About a third of that 9,000 that came to Walk Through Bethlehem marked that they have no church home. Think about that. That's 3,000 people. That's 3,000 people that have no church to go to on Sunday, and they got introduced to Crossroads and to Christ here. And I think about amazing of all is around 850 or a little more than that, 850 people over the two weekends raised their hand in the cross and tomb scenes to say they've trusted in Christ. Think about this. Our auditorium here can only hold about 700. Think about, visualize this auditorium packed with people. And those are new people, new brothers and sisters in Christ, all because of Walk Through Bethlehem. Amen. Let me tell you what, that just humbles me. And how awesome of a God we have, how awesome of a Savior we have in Christ, and what amazing things He can do. And listen, those of you who get to see me on the nights of Walk Through Bethlehem know that I wear my shoes out very quickly on those weekends. I make Shauna mad, right? Because I'm moving all over the place, but I get to talk to a lot of you. I don't get to talk to everyone. And just what amazed me, everywhere I went, everyone I talked to, guys, you were doing a work of faith. You were doing a labor of love. And let me tell you, you were patiently serving with that hope. I was just so excited and so energized to be part of this awesome church family, to see your love of Christ to do this. And I say we don't quit. I say we continue to reach even more people and get more people saved through this awesome ministry. Listen, I don't want you guys, I know it gets wet, I know it gets tiring, I know the nights can be long, but if we focus on Walk Through Bethlehem like the Thessalonians did on their ministry, man, we don't have to worry about any kind of pressures, any kind of mistakes, any kind of issues, any kind of stresses. Why? Because we're going to be focusing on what matters, and that's getting those 850 people or more, hopefully, to raise their hand and to trust in Christ. I can't thank you all enough. I wish I could just individually had the time to thank every single one of you for all of your help and all of your encouragement through this. This was an amazing year of Bethlehem, and I'm really excited, and I really am looking forward to what we can do with Walk Through Bethlehem in 2016.